and part of all. I'm going to show you the New Testament where Jesus said that this is the greatest thing in the law. The law contains prohibitions against robbery, theft, lying, murder, false witness, etc. These are awfully important concepts to religious people. But Jesus said, and others in his presence agreed, that the first commandment was the greatest command of all. And he said the second was like unto it. And so the very order in which the commandments were given has to do with their great importance. But this is the greatest. This is the one bright beaming star from eternity that lights our feet brighter than anything else we know about religion, is that God is singular. He is one. There are none other besides Him.
That's right.
None shall follow Him. None precede Him. None will follow Him. He will never die. He needed no man to assist Him. He needed nothing to create the heavens and the earth. So great was His power, His knowledge, His fact, His ability. Just look at this. Beginning in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, and there is that mightiest of all sentence in the Bible. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. For those of you who are serious students of Scripture, I want to point out the capitalization of the little four-letter word Lord. Hear, O Israel. And that part is strong with me. Moses is begging Israel. Get this now. Hear, O that is the state. The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. As you know, the translators who translated the ancient language into the Greek, when they came to the word Jehovah, which is the principal name of God, they would not write that name. They felt themselves, these ancient men, these 70 in the commission called the Septuagint. These men felt themselves to be unworthy to spell out the name Jehovah. And whenever they came to that name, Jehovah, they substituted an abbreviated form, which was also holy and worshipful, and did not displease God if they did so. Instead of writing his name, they wrote down capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. You'll find in the Bible the word little L, little R, little D. It is said that Abraham's wife, Sarah, was subject unto Abraham, her husband, calling him Lord. And she did. She said, "My Lord," one time. But the word L-O-R-D in small letters means an employer, or a master, or one in authority. It just means that you call the shots and I'll run the place. That's all that little L-O-R-D means. And then we come back to this capital, all capitals, which is a substitution for the sacred and holy ancient name of the deity, Jehovah. With that in mind, look at the verse again, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, Jehovah, our God, is one Jehovah. You'll have to understand that the whole wide world is polytheistic at this time. Every nation believes in love to a plurality of deities. Some worshipped the moon and thought that was a God. Some worship the sun. Many worship the sun. Very devout worshipers of the sun. Others worship other stars. Some worship rivers. Some even worship lights. Some worship stones. Some worship the mountains. Some the ocean. Neptune, you hear that, the god of the sea. Among humankind, there were very many gods. But when God decided to have a people, the first idea that he labored to get across to the people is that, don't worry about any gods. There aren't any other gods. Just me. Really, just only me. And if you had in your earlier life trusted and believed and had figured out that there were really many gods, you'd have to turn all that around and say, well, I'm a proselyte now to Judaism, and me, I don't believe in one God. Because the first thing you learn among the Jews is that there's not any other gods. One, all the rest of them are mere ideas.
That's true.
They're not anymore. Will you understand with me that I'll show you in the book of Mark in a little bit, chapter 12, verse 28, I'll show you in a conversation with Jesus. I'm not ready for that now. I'm going to just give you a preview. Jesus said that this remark, this statement, was the single most utterly important thing in all religion. To understand that God in mind is the only one.
Yeah.
Only one of his kind. Two means plural. Three means plural. Four means plural. Five, six, seven, eight, 90, 812. All these are multiple units.
Yeah.
But God is a singular unit.
Yes.
He is not many. But he is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. When the Greek taught his children fine arts, taught them literature and religion, the Greek daddy sat down with his boys and said, now, all right, boys, let's count the continents. Are you ready? And they named off the known continents of the world. He said, all right, let's name the seven seas. And they named off the seven seas. And he said, now let's name the kingdoms, the mineral kingdom, the animal kingdom, etc. And they learned things in categories, and after a while they'd say, now let us name the gods. And the Greek would sit there with his boys, educating them, and he'd say, well, there's Jupiter, and there's Apollo, and there's all down the line, and they'd name about 19 of them. And the more gods you could name, the higher grade you were in. But let's go to the house of the Hebrew now. And he says, all right, boys, let's name the continents. And they'd name the continents. He'd say, all right, boys, now God commanded me to diligently teach you every day the things you ought to know. Now let's say the Ten Commandments. And they'd say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's all, Dad. There's only 10. That's right. And they get around to saying, well, now let's name the 12 tribes of our people. And they start off with Gad and Reuben and Naphtali and Simeon. And Manasseh, that's 12, Dad, that's all there. That's right. And the dad said, now let's name the gods. And they start off and they say, Jehovah. All right. Now let's name something else. But that's all there was, just Jehovah.
Yeah.
There was no multiplicity of gods.
Sure.
I don't like it.
Peace and
thank you, Jesus. And to think that since there is only one in all the whole universe and all the whole world, think that we know him and we know his name. Goody gumdrop. I am so glad that I know there is one God.
Yes.
That there are not many gods,
yes,
as ancient men have supposed, but there's just one God.
Yes.
and we know His glorious name.
Right.
Now, the name of God has not always been common, even to believers, because the Scriptures tell us that when Manoah, who was the father of Gideon, prayed that angel down from heaven, Manoah said to the angel, he said, "You're the Lord." In an angelic form, he said, "What is your name?" And the Lord said, "What do you ask after my name for? See, it's a secret." There was a time when it did not please God to let all the world know His name. But one day when Jesus came, He said, "I thank Thee, Father, that Thou hast kept them whom Thou hast given me, for I have declared unto them Thy name."
Yes.
He came and brought the name. He made it clear. I'm glad that we know that wonderful name. And the writer of Proverbs sang it out. He said, "Can you tell me the Father that created the world and His Son, and can you tell me His name?" I'm glad I know His name.
Yes.
Oh, excuse me, but I sit still. So glad that I know that God is the single of you.
Amen.
It is absolute.
Absolute.
Right. Amen. There are any more gods than the one true living God.
That's right.
There never have been yet. That's
true.
I'd like to turn now to Isaiah 44 and 6. Isaiah 44 and 6. Oh, I'm so glad I found this out. Isaiah 44 and 6. You see, you can live with one God. You can love one God with all your heart, with all your mind, all your soul, all your strength.
That's right.
One God. You can be totally in love with one God. You can be totally loyal to one God. And I'm glad to know it. Isaiah 44 and 6. "Thus saith the Lord." Notice that capital letter, the Jehovah. "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." What a revelation. What a glorious fact. Man is not able to say how long he's been on the earth. There are some spooky things the archaeologists dig up. They want to tell you that there used to be elephants that lived 400 million years ago. I don't know. I wasn't here. You weren't here. But I do know that whatever there seems to have been in the animal kingdom and among the sons of men, I do know that as back can be back, there never was another God in another world
before
we got Him.
Amen.
The God that answers the phone today is the only God that's ever answered the phone. Ever in all time. He said, "Before me, there was no God before me. I am the first. There was no God before the Lord is spoken."
Amen.
There never was a time when there was a God that died out and kicked the bucket and said, "I'm here, I'm good, I'm good, I'm done. I'm gone. Now you take over, Jehovah." There was a God that lived before Jehovah that came in and straightened up all the books and all the evidence and all the records and said, "I tried. I don't like it. I don't want to be God. I'm going to take a power. I'm going to another universe. Leave it with you, Jehovah. Now rise up and get it, son." That never happened. There was never another God.
That's right.
Never. Never. There was never a day that there was another God.
Amen.
God said, "I am the first," which means there is no beginning.
That's right.
Nothing comes before
That's right.
Yeah. There was any water in the lake before this God made a lake. He said, "I
of God.
Yes, yes. Yeah, in the
Bible. Well, that's as far as the human imagination can be entered, and as far as you want to go back, there never was another being. He is a single God. He is an only God. He is a solitary God. There was no God before him. He said, I am the first.
Amen.
And he prophesied his continued prosperity and power and longevity when he said, I'm also the last.
Right.
No, I can't say that at all. I'm not the first free. And I'm not the last free. I'm just a baloney between the bread. But God didn't put it that way. He said, I am the first God. And I'm last. Don't be done after God. He's not going to advocate. He's not going to resign.
Amen.
The ballot box is not going to put him there.
Yep.
The Russians said they're going to do away with God. They won't.
No.
When the Russians are turning into ping pong balls, God's going to win on them.
That's right.
Yeah. But God is
everything.
Don't save down your money for the next God to try to give him some time. Give it all to this God.
Yeah.
Don't save none of your songs and none of your praises for the next Redeemer. Hey, well, you don't know the Redeemer.
No.
This is all there is, boy. I am the first.
Thank the Lord.
Look at it in the verse. My. Isaiah 44 and 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. And beside me, there is no one.
That's right.
Beside me. There's not any in the lower 40. There's not any above the North Pole. There's not any under the water. There's not any by any other name or any other place. God said, I'm the first, I'm the last, and beside me, there is no other. He said in Isaiah also, there is no other God beside me, yea, I know not any. If there is any other God, this God that you're committed to serve doesn't know him.
Yep.
Hear me? If there's more than one God, this God who said he is that only one God, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. One. Absolute and indivisible. There is only one God.
Amen.
There's not any dead gods. There's not any deceased gods. There's not any retired gods. There's not any antique gods. There's not any gods before this God began his reign.
Right.
And there won't be any gods when he folds it all up. There won't be no more.
Right.
He is the only one at his time.
Yep.
Keep this one, boy. There won't be another one.
Yep.
Glory to God. I like that. I'm secure in the knowledge that God is not many. Oh, the confusion of the poor Romans who believe in the power of God of war, who believe in Mercury, the mechanical power, who believe in all these strange and odd gods that I don't even want to give their names. They were not gods. He said, oh, but these gods when prayed to did wonders and did miracles. I don't doubt that a bit. I read where the Bible said that when Moses cast down his rod, it became a serpent. But that wasn't the end of that chapter.
Yeah.
The Egyptians, who were linked with the gods of Egypt, which were no gods, they were demons. Recently cast out of heaven. And these demon powers are greater than nature and greater than man. And these demon powers enable the magicians of Pharaoh cast down their rods, and when they fell to the floor, they became serpents. But that's not the end of that.
That's right.
Moses' serpent ate them all.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see that. Of course, I tend to be up on something pretty high like this movie. But I would like to see that. Hey, that big of a, well, Moses had a good one, friend. He would. I just see him. And swallowed 12 and wasn't know where he was when he started. Can you stop this? There's only one God.
Amen.
One supreme, supernal, absolute, full power. That is God. There's only one. He said, beside me, there is none other. What does it say here in verse 6? Beside me, there is no God. I can't say that. I can't say beside me, there's no man. There's many, 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 many men. I can't say to the grocery store, look, I'm the only customer. He's got lots of customers. But God can say, I am the only one. I'm the first and last. Beside me, there is no God. If there are folks who have it figured out, that the way they see it, they've got to figure out that God the Father is here. You have a long beard, eyes of fire, and tongue made out of flame. And then there is the Son that sits beside him. And then the Holy Spirit that looks like a bird sits there. So God said, beside me, that he's a bird.
That's right.
I just read in the Bible, it said, beside me there is no God.
That's right.
And God revelated and said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
And it said, I looked up into the heavens and he saw a throne.
Amen.
Yes, what?
Brother, when you get out of this world and you go to the sweet music of that other world, you'll see it wrong, but you won't see it free.
Well, that's right.
Amen. That's right. That's the truth.
Because God said, I am the first and I'm the last. And beside me, there is the old man. Monotheism. Only. One God. One true, one holy, one ever blessed God who cannot lie.
I
like that. I'm so glad that I found it out. So glad that I found it out.
Then in Isaiah 45
and verse 5, we find this clear statement. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Isn't that pleasant? Isn't that beautiful? Boy, I'll tell you, I've met the Holy Ghost on just a few thoughts that we had here already. Did you get it? I am the Lord.
Yeah.
He did not say we are the gods. He said, I, singular. I am, not we are, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. Then if you look into the 21st and the 23rd verses, stand ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. This is the same chapter, just down to verse 21. The chapter is verse 45. Chapter 45, verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near. This is the message. This is what we are to tell when we assemble the people. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? You see, the message has always been the same. It has never changed.
Right.
It is from the ancient time. It is from the beginning of time. See what it said? Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. If you're going to believe the Bible, there's no need believing there are many gods. The God of war, the God of harvest, the God of rain, the God of crops. The Indian, the white man, were in controversy. The Indian said that there was one great white spirit, and then there were black spirits, and they were all gods. This is what this says. The revelation of the Bible is, I am the Lord, there is none else, there is no God beside me. Verse 5 and verse 21, there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Do you fully agree with that?
Yeah, man.
Do you fully appreciate the unity,
the oneness, the singularity, the non-pluralism of the Supreme Being?
Praise the Lord.
There are not many, or there are not more than one. God makes it an express, clear statement. He pleads in language that babies can understand. He insists on this through this most dedicated of all prophets in Isaiah. There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. I believe that. I believe there's no God but God.
Right.
I believe there's none in the heavens or in the earth or under the sea or in hell or in the universe or where. I believe there's none God but just one. I believe God created heaven and earth.
All right.
You can believe about evolution if you want to, but I just think more highly of my scholarship and of my good sense to believe in evolution. I believe God created the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
I believe it is.
I believe
that. Now, if you would like to get an idea of the size of this world that God made, one side is just blackened it like this. I can't quote all these figures, but I listened very carefully. I listened to them just recently. Like I said, imagine, if you will, a football field. And a basketball laying on a 50-yard line. That would represent the sun. The great huge sun, many, 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 many times larger than the earth we live on, counting all nations and all the seas and continents and swelling oceans. Well, it's said that the sun is to the earth like a dinner plate is to a meal. But set the sun in the middle of the football field on the 50-yard line and say in your mind it's the size of a basketball. Then go down under the goal post and put a softball. And that would be the size and the distance and the relativity of the earth. And then move off another 25 yards and put a pea. And that would be like the relativity of the moon to the earth. And then go 4,000 miles. That would be a line from here. And put a golf ball. And that would be the relativity of the nearest planet to the earth. Where John Glenn went first in space, we talked about how tremendous that was. It would be like drawing a circle 80 inches in circumference. 80 inches rather than diameter. 80 inches on the wall. It'd be nearly as big as that wall. It'd be set round. And then take a pencil and draw a line on the path of his progress and passage of his travel, 1 inch away from that 80-inch circle. And you'd have an understanding and comprehension of how far away John Glenn was from the earth. He wasn't very far away, was he? And when you consider that the earth is 93 million miles away from the sun, it's a big God. I was reading where that there was a science who believed in God, and he had all these things clear in his mind. He knew how to put Mars, Venus, Neptune, and all the planets. He knew how to put them in their relative distance. He knew how big to make the Earth. He knew how big to make Mars and the Sun and all the other planets known to man. And he had them made, and he put them on wheels. And I saw a model of this at the Houston Museum. You've been in there, you know, the observatory, and seen this thing as it turned. Man, Chicago, I saw that. I believe they have one in Houston somewhere. So. But the earth in this thing is being rotated around by the moon, and the moon and the earth is rotating around the sun, and the planets and their relative speeds are going around the sun and all. And he had one of those made, and an atheist scientist came in and watched it and immediately recognized what he was. He was also mightily educated in astronomy. And he looked at that and took his breath. I don't know what he said under his breath. I'm maximum. How did anybody ever think to make it all work? And day after day, and hour after hour, this whole thing was in perfect place. And so the unbelieving scientist said to this believing scientist, he said, "Who made that?" He said, "Nobody." He looked back and he admired it again. He said, "No, who put that together for me?" Nobody. And he just kept on admiring what precise precision work it was. And everything rotated. Some was going this way, some that way, and the whole thing around the sun. He said, "Really, who put that together for me? Who made it? Who designed it?" He said, "Nobody."
"Well, it's not as foolish as don't be this. Nobody's home with this God.
Right.
Ring any number in the phone book, but God's number, you won't get any God. You may get Mackins, and you may get Italians, and you may get Mississippians, but you won't get any more God because there's not any more. Never has been one, never will be. Can't even have just one God.
Yeah.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. He is a unity. He is not a divided entity, but he is an absolute and true, distinguishable unity. He is one."
That's right.
We don't serve two gods. We don't serve three gods. We do not pray to three gods. We do not love three gods. We love one God.
Let me read verse 21, 22, and 23. "There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior." If you're willing to admit that he is a just God and a Savior, why don't you get willing to admit the rest of the verse, that he is one?
There's a lot of people willing to admit that he's your Savior, but look in the book and read the verse. God is one God, and beside him, other than him, in addition to him, there is none other.
You may say, "Lord."
No young God, no old God, no real God, no pet God, no red God, no black God, no God but him.
Right.
He, there is none else. It can't be anything. Historians say that the gift of Judaism to the world is the clear understanding of monotheism, that there is only one God. I'm glad I know.
All right, let me read. I'm just excited to get to read. "There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is going out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear." Now, it should be simple to see that there is only one God. I'm the first, I'm the last. Beside me there is no God. Isaiah 45 and 18. "But thus saith the Lord that created the heavens." Who made the heavens and the earth? God did. God created all that. But the same Bible that tells us that God did the creating and denies evolution clearly, plainly says that God is a unit, that he is the only one of his kind, the only one of his species. "Well, thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, He has established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Now, if you have faith to believe that God is creator of the heavens and the earth, the first matter of religion is to believe that He is singular.
Amen.
That there is but one God. Under no circumstances, at no time, and in no manner are there more gods than one. Now, the scripture that I said I was promised I would read to you makes good reading. Let me read a few verses here in Mark chapter 12. You love God, you don't mark these things in your Bible, it's never in your heart.
Right.
This is important. This is not a minor tenet of Christianity. It's the most important thing the Bible preaches. That God is one. Did you hear what it said? This is not a byproduct of latter-day religion. This is the most important thing the Bible says. It's identifying God. His number. All right, Mark chapter 12, and let's see. Verse about 28. And one of the scribes came. Did you find it? Mark 12 and 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reason together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of the law? He said, Jesus, can you put your finger on the heart of true religion? Which is the first? Which is the most important? Which is the greatest? Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He did not say the most important thing to live for God is not to commit adultery. That is important. He did not say the greatest thing to salvation is to get to where you don't lie and you don't cheat and you don't steal and you don't kill. This young man asked Jesus in public, and it's on the record. He said, Lord, what is the most important? What is the first commandment of all? And Jesus proceeded to say, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. I mean, for you to get to believe that God is one, and to love him with all your heart, and to love your neighbor as yourself, you have reached the zenith of real old-time Bible salvation.
Amen. Right.
Amen. James said, thou believest in one God, thou doest well.
All right. Amen.
That's
right.
Oh, my Lord, he said, thou believest in one God, thou doest prayer.
Yeah.
All through and eat and drink.
Glory to God.
I guess if anybody knows him in God's very heart, the devil would.
Yeah.
Right. Because he was God's chief and choicest and most pleasurable creation. He argued with God. He went to the head off. He sat out at the desk with God. I'm telling you, he went where God went. He was called the Son of the Morning.
Yeah.
And he got smart and rose up and said, I'll be God instead of God. Now, friend, he had some more advantages to even have such a thought. My, he was the most subtle of all the things God ever created. Smart, what's the word for that? If there was three gods or seven gods or nine gods or two gods, he would know it.
Amen.
He wouldn't know.
That's right.
Now, God's already said it, wouldn't he? Don't know anymore. But Satan comes along and he's cast out of heaven by God's fierce wrath because of his sin. And the Bible says, if thou believe in one God, thou doest well. How are you doing?
Praise the Lord.
I say, how are you doing, Father? You believe in one God?
Doing well.
You doing well?
Yeah.
You believe in two gods, three gods, seven gods, 11 gods? You doing bad, man.
That's right.
Amen. We need to rub you down with Adam Charmian Jr. You ain't got
old. Praise the Lord.
If thou believest in one God, thou doest
Yeah.
Right.
The one God preached in the old. And the other kid that taught me God was one.
Yeah.
Ever see this? I don't know if you'll ever sleep again. I'm in the hat. Thankful that you understand the identity of God. Jesus said the most important commandment of all is this: hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There's not any God but one.
That's right.
He said, if thou believest in one God, thou doest well. But devils also believe and tremble.
Now, there's folks going around saying that all you got to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're saved. You don't know that. You got the devil saved.
He's the longest.
Because the devil said, we owe him now. I'm God, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Thank God. He said, did you come to cast us out before our time and torment us? And the devil said, cast us into the swine. They knew who he was and confessed it with them.
Yeah, they did.
Somebody said, well, all you got to do is believe and confess it with your mouth, and thou shalt be saved. You let the devil say it.
Huh? Yeah. Come on now, Father. Is the devil saved?
Come on.
But he believes it.
Come on.
And he confessed with his mouth that thou
art
Jesus, the Son of the
Heavenly
Father.
That's
it. He saved? Oh, no, there's a little more to it than just simply believing. The Bible said if you believe as the Scriptures say, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this man, he of the Spirit, which said that the believe on him should receive, for as yet he was not yet given. You got to get the...
That's right. All right.
I'm going to entice me to get out of that street. I'm going to explain to you again and again that God is one.
Right.
Oh, God. I believe you know that. I don't know love, honor, or majesty, or my whole heart affection, but just one. How are you going to make out when your neighbor gets down to pray this morning and says, well, I don't need to pray this morning. Well, who do I ought to pray to? I'll pray to the Father. Now, Father, Father, praise the Lord. I love you, Father, Master. I love you too, son. I'll give you a little bit. Get down, son. Just wait. I'm going to praise you a little bit. I'm going to honor you too. Wait, son. I'll see you later, Father. All right, now, son, I want to thank you for the sacrifice that you made. I want to thank you for the grace you bestowed. Oh, just wait a minute, Holy Ghost. I'll give you. That's hard to keep 3 hours, you know. Why do you give one of me, the other one back to one? I ain't never prayed for 3 hours. I just pray for one God.
Praise the Lord.
Now that I serve 3 God with all my heart.
Amen.
With all my soul. With all my mind. With all my body. If there's 3 of them, they're co-equal and co-eternal, I've got to at least love one 33 1/3%, and the next one 33 1/3%, and the other one 33 1/3%. I'm busy, so I can be just letting 3
That's
out.
Right.
Busy under the one on the paper hanger for an inch. Can't even do it, bud.
Right. Sure. I believe that.
Praise the Lord.
What's the reading of the story? Well, I'm glad it serves her today. Aren't you glad you know who she is?
Amen.
Well, he's not just a prophet. He's not just a great preacher.
That's right.
Jesus Christ has suffered and bled and died on Calvary. The same God that moved his hand and flung his daughter.
That's right. Amen.
The same God that gathered up a little hand of dust and made a man and then breathed into him. That's the same God that walks on Galilee.
Same God that died and
Amen.
Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, Lord our God, one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. Isn't that beautiful? I love that Bible I'm just telling you, that just thrills me to death. It's so clear, it's so plain, it's so holy, so wonderful. Look what that young man answered him. Oh my. And when Jesus saw that, he answered discreetly. Well, let me go back to verse 32. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all thy heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him. Well, Master, he said, there is just one God. Now, when Jesus had healed the man with the withered hand, and healed the blind and the deaf, and had preached, he looked out there at his congregation, and instead of seeing happiness and excitement, and there was a great revival, he looked in their hands and saw doubt. And he didn't have to be a prophet to read what was on their face. They were fixing the stone.
Well, it said, before you stone me, he said, for which of these good works do you stone me? And they answered him, for none of these works, but that thou being a man, namest thyself God.
That's what this Christian lady had it for. It's because they don't convince Jesus said he was God.
Sure. And they understood that there was only one God. They all knew that. Well, Master, they said, for there is one God, and there's none other beside him.
Right.
That's what we know. That's what we built on.
Amen.
That's the cheapest message.
Amen.
He said, what do you stone me for? For none of these good works do we stone thee, he said. They said, but thou being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus was saying to them one time, think not that ye have Abraham and your father. He said, God is able to raise up praises from these stones that are here for the glory of God. And he went on to say that before Abraham was, I am.
Yeah.
And Abraham saw my day and rejoiced to see it.
And one of them said, now look here.
Now look here. You're not yet 50 years old and you say you saw Abraham and Abraham saw you.
He said, before Abraham walked, I am.
Where did Abraham see it? Abraham was sitting in the door of the tent in the heat of the day on the plains of Mamre, and he looked up and he saw three men coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
You hear what he said? He said, Abraham rejoiced to see me that day.
Or you saw
the same reality that went down and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah was the same one that healed my Galilee.
Amen.
And the word is God.
Jesus said he was the Almighty God.
Mm-hmm.
In the book of Revelation, when he comes to John, when he's on the Isle of Patmos, he introduces himself this way. He said, I am the first. I am the last. I am the Alpha. I'm the Omega.
Whoops.
There's two guys trying to steal the first base there. There's not one God. All the Bible is built on that. But Abraham's God said, and Isaiah's God said, I am the first, and I am the last. And this one who rose from the dead, sent back the Holy Ghost, descended into the heavens, and came back in Revelation to give John the revelation of things that could come to pass, he said to him, I'm the first. I'm the last. And I want to tell you, Mr. Jesus Christ is not God Almighty. Somebody's mighty mind.
Oh, that's
right. They're both trying to steal first.
Yep.
You know, the folks have got it in their mind that God is a Trinity. A three-piece unity. That's what Trinity, tri-unity, T-R-I-U-N-I-T-Y, condensed becomes Trinity. But it's not okay.
That's right.
It's a unity.
Amen.
You know what the Latin fullness is? That's all there is, just
one. Amen.
Because you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. 1 John 5:14 calls him the Son of God. Jesus was the Son of God. But when the angel overshadowed Mary and she was found with child, the angel of God said, that thing that is within thee is there by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Holy Ghost did it. You read it. Matthew 1:21. That thing that says now the birth of Jesus Christ is on this wise, that while Mary was yet espoused in the Joseph before they came together, she being found a child. And the angel came and said, that thing that is within thee is of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
That's right.
Now then, Jesus is the Son of God. He has declared to be the Son of God with light and power.
Yeah.
There is no doubt that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but the angel came forth with a message and said that father of that child within her womb was not a man. He said to Joseph, don't put her away. She's not been unfaithful. She's never been touched by a man. That child is within her is by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Now the Holy Ghost and the Father is not the same, then we have a problem here.
Yeah,
amen.
That's right.
But the truth is, there's one Lord.
Right.
One faith.
Amen.
There's one baptism.
That's right.
And I am some of that bread.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord.
I know how to give him the honor that's due his glorious name. Mm-hmm. While when St. Peter stood in front of St. Peter, who knew the Bible backwards and forwards, who were rulers in Israel, he said to them concerning Jesus Christ, he said, neither is there salvation in any of them. Isaiah 1:3-5 said, look at me and be saved, all in the end of the earth. Beside me there is no other Savior.
That's
what God said.
Yeah.
Look unto me and be saved, all in the end of the earth. There is no Savior beside me, Isaiah said. But when Peter was preaching to these men who had memorized every verse, he said that there is salvation in none other. Neither is there any other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved.
Right.
How do you figure on that? If God said he was the only Savior, beside him there was no Savior. And Peter speaking, Jesus Christ said, there is salvation of no other, neither is there any other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. I'm going to tell you that Jesus Christ is God Almighty.
Right. That's right. I believe that.
Glory to God.
Wonderful Jesus. Marvelous Jesus. Glorious, praiseworthy
Jesus.
He's all of them.
Right. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah, God. I'm going to give you some of the old Bible's called. I'm going to rock you back before a good week. I better get it down to first grade level. Now, you old Bible scholars have heard one that's preached all your life. I'm going to pull one on you to make your ears pop out. Yeah, I'm going to do it.
You might have heard this 30 years ago, but I haven't heard these scriptures used in so long that they may be new to you all over again.
I dare you to look at Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to read along there a little bit. I'm saying you believe one God to do well.
Right.
The devil's also waiting for him. I know.
Isaiah chapter 6.
Well, I'll turn over there with you because I don't have time to read every little phrase of it because I got something I got to read in the New Testament. So we'll enjoy it for you. Isaiah chapter 6. You know how it starts off. In the years of King Uzziah, I saw the Lord. You ready?
Yeah.
In the year that King Uzziah, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. See, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital B. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full. His glory. Get that? The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now, we'll go down to verse about 8, 9, and 10. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. See what the message would be? Hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Let me point out two, three things, and then we'll go to the testimony. On the day that Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, he saw the angelic beings crying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. This was the true God, the one true God, in person, himself. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. See that? The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah is seeing the glory of this one from the throne. Then the prophecy that will be fulfilled in the Gospels is that the people would be waxed gross. They would become in a spiritual stupor and would not be able to understand. They would not believe though marvelous, glorious events were happening all around them. It wouldn't come through to them what it was. All right, if you'll turn with me to John chapter 14, I'm telling you this is just you better hold your finger on that place and I said, you're going to look at that again. It's amazing. John chapter 14. And we're going to read starting beginning at 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, I'm sorry, I wasn't courteous. Didn't wait till you got there. St. John chapter 12, chapter 13. Beginning at verse 7. Jesus answered and said to him, What I do, thou knowest not now. Well, John 14, beginning at verse
7.
Yeah. No, John 12 and 41. Missed the reference here. John 12 and 41.
verse 37, so we'll be sure and identify it. Well, though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. I'm so sorry about that. I'm sorry the man is that way. So full of unbelief and sin. Look what it said in verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. But the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed. Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes, and this is what we just read in the 6th chapter. He hath blinded their eyes, you remember that, and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted. Remember reading that? Isaiah 6, we're going to look back over there. These very words are there. And be converted, and I should heal them. Verse 41. This is amazing. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory. And spake of him. Look up here at verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, they would not believe on him. We're talking about the ministry of Jesus. And then John takes time out to explain what was happening, that the prophecy of Isaiah was being fulfilled, that God would harden their hearts and blind their eyes and deafen their ears. And then he says in verse 41, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory. Whose glory did Isaiah see? The one that was doing these wonders and signs and miracles and those that they refused to believe. Isaiah saw his glory and spake of him. Would you repeat that after me? Isaiah saw his glory and spake of him. Good, say it one more time. I want you to remember that.
Isaiah saw his glory and spake of him.